Yo. Hey. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week.
Yeah, yo.
What a week. Week.
Welcome to Wow, What a Week. It's the middle of February, a time when you see lots of reds and pinks, reds, cartoony hearts, and when you're told that it's a time of love and appreciation. It's also Lent. You don't want to go to hell. Well, we love what we do, and reading the comments we get, you love what we do. So showing love and appreciation for the people that show us love and appreciation, here's another edition of Wow, What a Week.
This is
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
Our comedian guest is in the building. A stop nonsense is a nickname given to a sturdy wall erected around a property. The term indicates that it is meant to stop strange behavior. But when applied to our next guest, it seems that it allows for strange behavior. And more than a few laughs. In a dress, even. Please give a warm welcome to Tumi Stop Nonsense. Tumza.
Uncle Fresh.
How are you, my dog?
I'm not doing it.
It's good to see you, man. Ah. Last time I saw you was probably 4 or 5 years ago, literally.
Serious?
Yeah, I think it was at Metro FM Studios about 4 or 5 years ago.
No, that was the last time we had like a formal sit down. Well, but we've been, you know, at gigs and stuff.
Not really.
Ah, okay.
Gigs way, my man.
Oh.
What are you confusing me with? You sound like white people now. All black people look the same.
Java.
It's like you look like the other one. Okay.
Oh, I'm not doing it.
It's good to see you.
Ah, man.
My man, are you good, man? Like, are you feeling out? Stress,
it's nonsense.
Would you say you've put on a bit of weight, or you're just catching up with yourself? You're filling out.
I think actually I'm catching up with myself, because everyone who goes like they've got bodies.
Yes.
So like a few years ago, I underwent an operation, so I had a hyperactive thyroid. Hey,
hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find out that your thyroid was hyperactive?
Okay, because it started resulting in like a swollen neck.
Ah.
So I was pushing against my esophagus. So sometimes I tried to say jokes. Not that I wasn't funny, but
sure,
they were not landing proper.
Hey.
Because they were under the oppression.
In it,
in holding back. So yeah, I went.
Was it sore? Operation.
No, it wasn't even. But
you just look like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Not squonk weight.
Yeah. Yeah. My neck was a bit getting. It was swollen, man.
Sure.
It looked a bit chubbier than Yaw Kimunada. So, it is.
No, but Yaw Kimunada is
a giraffe. Yeah, neighbor and the neighbor's
Yaga okay. Was no, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
So, and apparently, if I hadn't, like, attended to it at that time,
So you're
going to
die?
Yeah, because it was pushing against my esophagus. So I would have, like, problems sleeping. Nagara,
Hey, so you might have even thought you had sleep apnea. You are suffocating.
Kanti, I'm being choked.
What?
By my own.
And choked you, Pella, black people think we're choking you like electricity.
What's that thing? Why is that thing? And you feel like you're being.
Oh, yes. What's it called?
It's got a name.
Kisipitele, demon, or sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Sleep
that.
Paralysis.
So,
yes.
Too often I thought it was
jeez.
That. But then, thank God, I went for the operation. And then the doctor did indicate that your appetite is going to change. But it hasn't even changed.
Appetite for what?
Valentine's things.
In fact, there's quite a few things happening this week. There's Valentine's, there's Lent. Justice Mokweng says someone wants him dead. Bafana are home. STI numbers Mokhauteng are up. Tintsalo Mdimu is being discussed in Parliament. Load shedding isn't the end of the world, according to Member of Parliament Sylvia Lucas. What do you want to talk about?
Oof, let's start with the STIs.
Yes.
Yo, I actually saw something on TikTok. Ne? They're like, in the whole of Gauteng.
Sure.
Like, Bramfontein, that's at its peak.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Well, because it's like a ton of students.
I don't know, but...
Is it a ton of students or a ton of libido in one area?
Or a
ton of I don't care? I will take penicillin and I'll be okay.
But also, I get I think they are active, these kids. These kids, because
they're like your thyroid.
They're hyper. Instead of FISMA's fall, the pants are falling there.
Yo.
That's what I've realized. Kabram.
What I don't understand, though, because the Gauteng Department of Health are saying STI numbers in Gauteng are at an alarming spike, which means, obviously, then people are, you know,
Rasher.
But on top of that, because of the culture, especially everyone is going out, you're going to find hore le jalo motho iwane le lebaya. So already the intersection AO is a problem.
Yeah, and
look around. Maybe there's someone who prefers the comedian. You know what I mean? Or prefer a DJ? Or prefer a mapolitiki?
Yeah.
And then there's just one massive cesspool of ill that is happening there. And it doesn't help now also that you're told that, no, don't stress. If ukula is one tablet a day, it'll bash up. So I think people have reached a point where they're like, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah, and also because, I think because now every second person in South Africa is now popular, so that thing comes in, eh? It's easy access now. I've noted. Because like if you go to, like you're putting it, like if you go to gigs, like, it's more or less the same bottle girls that are there, the trophy girls
it's the
that
same,
are there.
It's the same pool of people.
Yeah, and now our sasu, like, it's no longer a thing. When I'm going to go back, I'm like, fanahuvana, oh boy.
Sure, it's your turn.
To shine.
No, in fact, there's a saying that that guy is not your guy, it's just your turn.
Yeah. So it's crazy. And the level of, like, actually, even the age groups, man. Like, I was offended this other time, Giluko Kas. And then, like, I just greeted this other, because she was looking at me. And he can also saluting. He can also saluting this. I think she's probably, like, 14.
Mm.
And she waved. And I was like, okay, sharp. You're grand. And I'm like, why are you looking at me? I'll type you. I'm like, what? Oh, it's your age.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wow. Okay. Eh? Not that I was looking. Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is wild.
It was wild.
I remember I gave a talk at a school. We were donating sanitary wear to all the girls at that school.
Yeah.
So obviously from grade 8 until grade 12.
Mm.
And it's like a ton of girls at the school. And I remember, you know, as they're screaming, as Rike, you know, one of the teachers is like, you know, the sad thing is for a lot of the grade 8 girls, they're looking at you as a hero or their favorite DJ. For a lot of the grade 12, they're looking at you as a potential.
Yeah.
And she said it with a straight face.
No, but
and she says one of the big worries they have is, ka break, guys in cars come and park outside their school because they might have a girlfriend at their school.
Mm.
And then after Sgela, some of these girls are picked up by working guys.
This is a driver outside transport.
Outside the high school, my guy. Outside the high school.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It's sad because also, like, I feel like we just don't put too much emphasis in these age restriction rules. And because you go to a club and you're shocked, you find this very specific lady in a club.
Mm.
The lady in a club.
Sure.
But after that, then you find out, Muntu Gausani. Sure. Like, what? So it's crazy.
So are you Christian? Are you Roman Catholic? Do you Lent?
Oh, Nagam Zalwani. Like, I'd call. Like, I'm a PK. Yeah, my dad is a bishop. My mom is a pastor. Yeah. Hence, skilly out of line.
Oh, okay. So you're rebelling, basically. You're like, oh, kitala bonza.
Yeah, man. Like, I need to give my dad some topics to preach about.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, so if you're going to be in line and you're going to be the altar boy at your father's church, then he's out of content.
Yeah.
You must be the content.
Yeah, must
my
be
son the wears a dress to be funny sometimes.
I can see more kimoya or king.
Kimoya or satan or content, because there's a fine line.
Yeah. I also like, because my dad is like old school. Ne?
Sure.
So these things, can you imagine? It's never been even to a single show of mine. My mom has been there. My mom is the easy one, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, foul things even on stage. And she's, you know. Mm. My dad is so old school. My dad didn't even know who I am for the longest of time.
As in
public.
That you're a comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He didn't. He was like, okay, can we know some mailing? We took him to school to study IT.
Yes.
Graduated and whatever. And then now he's lazy.
Mm. He doesn't know that you are still making money in your own lazy way.
Like, where do you think these things are coming from?
So what does he think of Jemima?
My dad at some point, like many other people, thought, yeah. Because I also grew up like as a softinyana. Sure, I was that boy.
You were a gentle boy.
I'm passing, and I'm passing. So a bit of a softy, and then yeah, I think I started off ke bonsanyana bo masculine when I was like. I get in high school because then I sister like they were now out of the high school, so I had to stand for myself.
Oh yes,
like,
yes.
You know, got into physical fights and all these things, and that's when okay, sharp. I never went, oh, I give him G, because I used to cry, Joe. Oh, I used to cry, and crying now at that time was mistaken, or So when I had to stand up for myself, you know, at the later age, because. That's my problem, and I went to a colored school, and then now every time like we're like, we're gonna catch you after Yebra. So I always had to, you know, duck and dive between the water, you know.
So
I started off, man, then that's when you know what, I'm gonna show them actually. I guess I'd clever for
gonna
the
show
day.
Them, show
gonna
them.
Show them. I'm going to make that circle bigger myself.
So you grew up in the south of Jersey.
Yeah.
Lawley.
Annadale.
Annadale area.
Yeah. That's where I grew up. Well, I was born in Kosoweto, Barra. And then we had to move to Habu Papaka, which is northwest in the Gobrets. Ploma Gobrets. And then when I did, I think my grade 3, that's when we moved back to Joburg, you know.
How would you say growing up in a colored township affected or influenced you versus if you'd grown up Kokasi, Yabutaki?
Funny thing is, so growing up, we could not differentiate between Makalate le Mahua.
Sure.
So we thought, Kimangam lava. So there was this level of respect that we gave them. And you knew as a young boy, you guys were, how can you all colored? You know what I'm saying? And then it was only, man, when we grew up, we realized that, man, it's like you so. You so, Jeba was on a little run. Live on almost the plasma, the creative control.
Yeah, your complexion.
Oh, fair. it was just that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Are you a Bafana Bafana fan? What are your thoughts of Bafana Bafana this past week?
Oh, for someone that has so many soccer player friends, I don't actually follow football that much. I just watch what I want. If it's a topic, you know, of course, I watch South Africa, be it Springboks,
yes, sir.
Bafana Bafana, Kaizer Chiefs, because I was forced to support that team. But yeah, man, Bafana, I just watch the matches. I don't know who's hot, who's not. I know there's Percy Tau somewhere there.
There's Percy Tau there, and then we're still learning the others.
Yeah, and others. And that goalkeeper that did wonders. That colored goalkeeper that did wonders.
One of your people.
Yeah, our people.
One of your people.
Yeah.
Now, earlier on, we're talking about the fact that there's so many comedy shows. Like nice intimate comedy shows happening, but they're also selling out though. So it's not big shows. It's not like an ICC.
Yeah,
but there's nice shows getting support.
Yeah,
am I seeing it right?
Yeah, you see, that's because comedy is way different from like music.
Sure,
and I think it's closely linked with hip hop. You know, based on the styles, punchlines, and all these things, and also the culture around it.
Sure,
so there's a lot of underdogs. That are there. You'd be shocked. There's a comedian that's selling out in Kebeja.
Yes,
and even I, with other well-known comedians, when we go there, we still find it tricky. You know.
Yes, yes.
It's a very nice grown. I can say it's grown because boys are even living, man.
Sure.
They own houses now. They got things out of just those small shows.
So it's finally paying off as a career. Is what
yeah, it is. Mm. It is. I think it has always. It was just a matter of time where we were able to master, or most of us were able to master the corporate side of it. You know, the business side of it.
Sure.
Because Billy Nelly, you know that the theater struggles of we're doing it for the passion.
And I think also on top of that, it was the same names all the time.
Yeah.
Lineups were the same names all the time. Yeah. Now you see names you don't know. And they are so funny. You're like, why have I not known about this person?
Yeah. No, because I think also after the Trevor umbrella, I, like up until we got used to the Trevor umbrella, because everyone, he was like the guy that you aspire to be like, you know, because even if you'd say something on stage that just goes offline, people will be like, ah, you'll never get to where Trevor Noah is.
Yeah.
So you was always that guy that they would mark you against.
The beacon.
Yeah. Mm.
But Trevor comes here, and I'm telling you right now, there's comedians who'd bury him, like in this country right now.
I've seen.
There's a ton of comedians who'd easily bury him. And it's something Black Coffee has said countless times, that, you know, I'm a hot DJ, but there's a ton of DJs back home that are just as hot, if not hotter than me.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we lack generally as Africans is just give me an opportunity. Give me access to the opportunity and I will show you.
Mm.
And that's what a lot of kids are lacking on our continent.
Yeah.
That they could perform at a global level.
Oh,
they just don't have the access.
There's just so many. And we always have like these conversations backstage. I remember that time with Skumba, we were talking about if only there was a way that the rest of Africa, because we are trying, in the social spaces, you know, to try and reach out, you know. But if there was an eye that was, you know, scouting for, there's a boy called Jay Boogie from Soweto.
Sure.
Yo, the funniest, that guy can handle a good 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
One man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are at his show, you must know that you are just there to go collect what you are getting paid, and that's it. The rest of the show is about him.
Oh, wow.
He is funny. See what Martin Lawrence used to do?
Sure.
He's our Martin Lawrence.
Oh, wow.
And he's unknown.
Mm.
He's got a few clips that are online that people know, but because of, hey, man, are so be advanced. You see, that's why the YouTubers, these boys are killing it.
Sure.
You know, they are much more influential. So if we had, I think if we had like TikTok and all these other platforms, you know, when PMS was still the thing.
Oh, yes. It would be a different story.
Because it came in with the whole wave of comedians.
Absolutely.
And they were introduced into the game that way.
Mm.
You see? So we also, I wish comedy also in South Africa had like a Def Jam kind of structure.
Sure.
Because you see, everyone that was on Def Jam is a superstar now.
Yes.
And because their stage presence was used as the audition.
Yes.
So if you look at Kevin Hart, Kevin Hart is Kevin Hart everywhere.
Sure.
He doesn't change the character, you know what I'm saying? So everything that you saw on stage, you're still going to see it, whether he's a hitman on a movie or anything else, you know? So I wish we had that. And John Flesmus attempted to do that, which I don't know for what reasons didn't work out, but if we had that kind of structure, I feel like South African comedians,
But what you're saying, though, is there is movement, there is momentum, and you guys just mustn't sleep on it then.
Yeah. Must be recognized.
Mm.
Even the Department of Arts and Culture, there's no like...
Libata agents. Libata di savana. Already you're giving the savana. Like, what else do you want?
That's all we get.
Yeah, so the Khatis gini six pack. Libata nyugu,
no. No, man, we are old now. Like, I'm now what? 11 years. 11 to 12 years now.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up. Because I never did any 9-to-5.
Sure.
Straight from Scala. Mm. I went on
qualified
stage.
IT. You're like, computer for what?
Yeah. C-sharp for who?
Yeah.
I want to be on that stage.
Has it been worth it?
To be honest,
yeah.
In all angles.
Sure.
In all angles, I don't think I'd ever do anything outside comedy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? With that being said, I'm doing other things like you were presenting and whatever, but confident they branched out straight from stand-up comedy.
Absolutely.
You know, it's worth it, man.
What's next for Stop Nonsense? And then is Jumaima still active? How active is she? Is she in Bramfontein? Should we worry about her stats?
She's not in Bramfontein.
Yeah.
So it has been like a very, very big debate with my team, you know, in terms of, are you bringing her back?
Sure.
Or
should you just have a whole funeral?
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because for me, I thought, you know, having to bring back Jumaima basically was doing what Bomo Sakaula was doing, you know, just being raw and saying things. Mm. I feel like she paved a good way, you know what I'm saying? Having to bring her back needs like serious rebranding, you know what I'm saying?
It can't and a new Jumaima wardrobe, because you can say meal, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Jumaima was about Pakilinyan.
Yeah, but
Jumaima looked like she needed to eat a burger.
We are.
Back then.
We are. Yeah, actually. Planning on the cause, also there's a hashtag now that's there in the socials. Mm. Hashtag bring back Jemima.
Exactly.
So I did coin like a few classics from
her.
Yeah. And by the way, I remember you used to be a fan. This other time, I never told you this story.
Mm.
I had accompanied one of my friends, Mkapilo, go to APC Studios. And I'm walking, but I can hear a Jemima clip is playing from outside. And I'm like, this guy is different. No, this is, and I'm like, I'm waving on the window. Mm. And you just did this. You thought it was one of those people that were just it's passing like, there.
FN.
I'm like, he's got that's a my clip. That's me there. Hey, it was crazy.
No, I was a Jemima fan.
Yeah, I remember, I'm not a huge Twitter fan.
Sure.
I feel like it's a very toxic space. Mm, and being the sensitive guy that I am.
So you still cry inside.
Yeah, I'm that stop nonsense that's still wet. Like,
Samantha is old. Mm,
so I would just see, like with the tags, because you used to, you know, push it very much on the Twitter spaces and stuff. Mm. And I'd see people saying, hey, tune in. And then I'm like, this other time, I'm like, hey, I'm even outside the studios.
Yeah.
But they don't know me, these guys. But alas, it's fine.
One day they'll know me.
One day.
You know, a year or two later, I was interviewing you. So
yeah,
you
it was. It was, man. And, I've ever since, man, you know, to be quite honest, I wouldn't say you made me. Don't take that credit.
I'm not
going
to say I made you, but I will tell you now that I've supported SA Comedy on my radio shows for the last 22 years, more than any other radio show in the history of radio in this country. That I will tell you.
Yes, and I agree. I agree because I remember
I think Alex J maybe comes a close second. But otherwise, like I said, nobody has supported SA Comedy on radio the way I have over the last 22 years.
And even I mean, I've seen you at a couple of shows seated, you know, watching SA Comedy, and I'm like, my name fresh, who understand that the joke is of Mashabela.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because King Gamlan.
You know, the big dog.
This is the black colored guy. My man, we need to wrap up. Apparently, we're out of time, but where do we catch you in action? Are you on stage anytime this month?
February? I'm working on my special.
Yes, sir.
It's an hour 40 minute special. It's after the whole controversies, there's a lot of things that happened last year, you know. And
what controversy?
I'm not here to talk about that.
We want to know.
I'll start sounding guilty or like I'm defending myself. Mm. So it's out there. If you know, you know.
Okay.
If you don't know, let's meet in court. So after the whole experience, man, I felt the best way to even, because I haven't said anything about whatever, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, the best way to say it is just bring it home, man, and just working on my special, which is titled My Side of the Story. Mm. A lot of facts, you know.
Okay.
An eye-opener. It's too emotional, but very funny also.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, man. So I'm looking forward to that. But otherwise, I am touring this week. Just after here, I'm actually flying to Durban. Got a show with, you know, the likes of Nonto R.
Sure. I love Nonto to death. Like to death. I love her. Like, you have no idea.
Man, you haven't healed from your marriage. Stop looking at other. Oh, relax. Leave Nonto to us.
Hey, but Nonto is married. Why are we leaving it to anyone?
Oh, you know that.
How? This guy.
I'm
a fan. I'm just a fan. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're fresh out of, you know.
My man, let me let you go.
It's fine.
Where do we find you online?
Yo, everywhere, guys, and follow me at Stop Nonsense.
Sure.
That's where I'm at.
Hey, Tata.
Everything.
My dude. All the best. We're looking forward to your side of the story.
Yeah.
And may your show kick ass.
Definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stop Nonsense. It's about to stop the nonsense. So.
Danko.
This is.
Wow!
What a week. What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
So, when describing many actresses, people draw comparisons from the animal world. Some are described as tigresses, some are lionesses. Some deserve those tags while others don't. When it comes to our next guest, many of her fans, as well as people who have watched The Masked Singer, will agree that she is a fox.
Ah ha! Tito.
Please give a warm welcome to the somewhat vixen-y Zikhona
Sotlaka. Somewhat vixen-y, somewhat.
Or are you a full vixen? Are you full, full?
Nobody wants to be somewhat a vixen.
Yeah, but also you're a mother, you see. So we don't want to just fully vixenate you.
So all the other vixens out there are not mothers?
Not that I know of, eh?
There is no mother that you know of that you consider 100% vixen.
I don't want to fully vixenate you. But if you're in a full vixenation, then, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this a tender vixenation when you say somewhat a vixen?
Ladies it's and like, gentlemen.
No.
Fully vixenated.
Jeez.
She went for the booster.
Where did I go for the booster also?
She went for the booster shot. Fully vaccinated. Quite the fox. Please make some noise for Zikhona.
Sotlaka.
Sotlaka.
Bo, 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 bo.
How are you doing?
I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful.
How we know you're beautiful.
Yeah.
We've known for a very long time. I fell in love with you on Cha Cha. I was so in love with you that in 2006-07, I think, I was booked for a gig in Grahamstown, and I told them on condition they take me to Tsolo so I can go to Satisfaction, just so I can say I've been there. Nice. That's how much of a fan I was.
That's why I didn't see you on that set, because you didn't take that booking, because they didn't bring you to my set.
No. I think you guys had stopped shooting. But like I said, I had a booking in Grahamstown, and I knew that in the area there somewhere is where they shoot Cha-Cha.
Oh my gosh, 2000 and what? Was it six already?
Yeah, 5, 6. Yeah. That's how old we are.
You know, technically in my culture, I should say boot fresh.
Yeah, you probably should, actually.
But it doesn't go.
No, it doesn't.
So can I just say fresh?
You can say whatever you want.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You are now a CrossFitter.
I am.
What is CrossFit for those that don't know?
I am. I lift weights now. It's been, we had a little chat about it, right? It's been such an intimidating little thing. Like I've been watching people lift and carry those heavy weights for a very long time. And I've just been like, I really think I'm that way inclined.
Sure.
You know, there's like specific types of people. Like there's a person who like yoga and do the soft training.
And then
there's runners who usually don't really mix things. Mm. And then there's the strong people.
Sure.
I mean, not that the others are not strong. I've always known that it's something I should try.
So you thought CrossFit was not for you?
It's very intimidating. I knew it's for me. I liked it from far. But it's like looking at somebody that you know you really want, but you just like.
But also, I think there's this, you know, CrossFitters are like wine drinkers, iPhone users.
Yes, it's very specific.
They've got this arrogance, Nyana.
Yeah,
almost like
we
are us here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can't do what we do.
Until you join us in the class and we're just a bunch of suckers.
These are just a bunch of weak people trying to be strong.
That part. Yes. We are at least aware that we can get strong, and that's why we go.
Before you jumped into the world of CrossFit, because obviously you need mental strength for all of that.
Yes.
Where do you draw strength from in your day-to-day when the chips are down, when things are not going well, when the auditions are not coming anymore, when you're being overlooked for awards because of a busted?
Oh, snap. I want to exercise what Lomla was doing when he sat on this chair.
The inner...
Shut the hell up. The inner that person.
No.
I'm like, yeah, it's a great exercise. I should practice it.
No, you shouldn't.
Where do I draw strength?
Yeah.
So I'm a rural girl.
Okay.
From Mthatha. And we have a very close family. I don't know what, if like abanba se lokshina not tight, I don't know. But it's lalini, you're forced to be each other's best friends before you become best friends outside. So I really have like a close-knit situation with my sisters. I am the last born, which means I have to listen to what they say most of the time.
Which sometimes sucks.
Which sucks! Until it's something to do with Imali, and then I have a say.
Yeah.
So they are the people that kind of sort of like outcall on when the auditions aren't coming in, when that award situation you spoke about.
Sure.
When that stuff happens, and even when the good times happen. So I kind of sort of like do that. And then obviously we must borrow.
No, it's fine.
Obviously we must borrow.
CrossFitters always break things.
Yeah, because we're strong. But I'm soft. I'm strong, but I'm soft. Please let it be remembered. Then I will kind of borrow from people who are doing the thing that I want to do.
Sure.
But you
finally got the award the other day, or at least the one we felt like, finally. Talk to us about that.
I get a lot of awards, Fresh.
I know that, but the other day we were like...
Yes, there is. Are we okay?
Yeah, we're good.
There is this international award situation that's come to South Africa, and they've just decided they're going to cover every single discipline in the arts, in performing arts, I think.
Sure.
So they've got directors, filmmakers, and they've got actors.
Mm.
And so they threw in everyone that has been great for a very long time.
Yes.
Because, you know, the other award situations, I think that maybe it's because the selection is few.
Mm.
So it's just like, Ishan, we have to choose three.
Exactly.
Must we put her name in again?
Again. Like, give other children a chance.
Can we just give other kids a kid? And I'm just like, if there's one thing about me, I will congratulate people.
Mm.
So, yeah, my turn was the other day.
And how did that feel?
Pretty. You know, when you're like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, it's mine.
Mm.
Duh. when they announced my name, I was sitting down the whole... Because, like I said, I'm not even pretending.
Sure.
I am applauding when people win, especially when people who are supposed to win, win.
Absolutely.
So they're saying all these names, and the award that I thought I was going to take, they didn't call my name.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, Sham, let me applaud.
Which one was that one?
Outstanding Performance of the Year.
Yes. Which was you?
Yeah.
Mm. We all know.
Period. So then somebody more deserving got it. And I'm like, okay, sharp. So when they say my name, I'm like, yay, Zikona, yes.
Mm.
Then that thing happens. You know, the thing that happens on TV when we're watching, they're like, no, that's you.
Mm.
You go get it.
Absolutely.
It's a bit of an out-of-body experience for real. But at the same time, you're just like, I think it's okay. I really should go collect that award.
Sure.
They're correct. Mm. Mm-hmm.
So 2019 at Sis Nontle's funeral, you lamented the fact that government doesn't support the arts. We are not getting enough support. Obviously, that ruffled a couple of feathers. Do you stand by those words?
You know, Fresh, you remind me of me. You're really good at what you do.
Uh-huh.
How did I say yes to coming here?
Is your inner voice trying to govern you again?
No, like, you know, you're really good at what you do. Firstly, I can't say no. Mm.
So I am you and you are me.
That part. But okay. You are like a million times.
No,
million
shut up. Times. No, rubbish.
No, we can get rubbish. Into that banter until the end of the show.
No, you are rubbish. Like a million. Rubbish. And as the last born in our family, you must listen.
You're also the last born?
No, you are the last born.
As the child, I must listen. Are you about to say, actually, no, Buduako, so
exactly.
Listen to what I say.
Exactly.
All right. So, do I stand by what
and,
I said?
And how would that support look like in the ideal world?
Okay.
Mm.
You know, laws aren't easy to break when they are there.
Sure.
You can break them all you want, but you are aware there's a law. Mm. There's a rule around this.
And often, hopefully, consequences for breaking them.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's legal. It belongs to the government. Mm. Right? When you don't have those laws, it's easy to break them.
Mm.
So, you know, our industry is not legislated.
Mm.
Yours and mine.
Mm.
If you live in South Africa and you're in the arts, it's not legislated.
Mm.
Like Ayikopa Constitution, the arts, I think.
Mm.
So that's a good start.
Mm.
Because the bullying, the cheating, the cutting short, the baleging, the zimeling, the I'm going to tubula you.
Sure.
It happens at free reign because there's no laws around this billion-rand industry.
Mm.
That's a good start. I think that's what support would be.
I was reading the other day about how the cast of Friends...
Ah! Those rich people.
Literally make millions...
Sitting at home.
...from royalties.
Yes.
And for reruns.
Yes.
And replays.
Oh, and somebody smart said to me that Friends is just my girlfriend. Not my girlfriends. What's the other show that was also a sitcom, but it had people of color?
Oh, yes, the other one. Yes. It was a girlfriend.
In Living Single. We are living single.
Okay.
Friends is that, but they put a different cast.
Mm, they put white people, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes. It's exactly the same show. They just went and then became like it's way richer than Gibson people. Yes, the Friends people still get paid. And also the funny, strange thing, and I stand to be corrected, please correct me. Here in South Africa, for advertising, there's royalties. Like if you do an ad, the rules that are supposed to be the law are applied, but not in a film. It's just a bit of a catch-22 for me. Like, I don't...
But what are you guys doing about it, though? And are you guys unionized enough to be influential enough, to be enough of a lobby to say to them, guys, stop faffing around?
Also, it's difficult to have a union when it has no one to report to.
Sure.
It's difficult to be a union of a million people that you represent. And then when you get to the government to say, on behalf of, as per section what?
But it's a good start, though. It's a good start to be unified in us saying enough is enough. Can we fix this? Because the very same lawmakers sitting there in parliament are the same guys who come to your funerals and talk about how, yeah, we loved her. She was a great ambassador from Tata.
Even your funeral.
You know what I mean? Yes. And unless you put it in your will that you don't want anyone from government.
I want no flag on my freaking funeral. Do not sing, Cosa Sigalela.
Exactly. So those are the same lawmakers that will talk about how they're your big fan. You know, when you win an award internationally, they're waiting for you at the airport.
That's true.
But they're going to, sign into law legislation that is not in your interest. And you guys are going to sit and allow it to happen.
But I think it's a catch-22. I don't disagree with you when you say it's better to have that union. But sure. I promise you it's been tried before. They have unionized some way or form. It may not have been 2 million people part of that union, but it was a number, significant number. And then they go and they say, on behalf of, let's say, this 100,000 people for the sake of this conversation. This 100,000 people say, and they're like, you don't belong to the Department of Labor. We don't recognize you as a laborer. We don't recognize you as a this. You don't recognize you as a that. And then it falls into that catch-22 situation where the people are despondent, seemingly, because you're just like, oh, then what's the point? Because kasiya kula union, la union ayinandawo yokuya kuyo. And then kasingayi kuyo ukuthi masenze iunion. Sengathi kudlalwa ngathi ngathi singobantwana.
And I think it also doesn't help that you also have artists that are so hungry that they would take the very peanuts you're not willing to take. Simply because I need to pay rent, I need to
eat. And then somebody
eat.
Has the right to offer those peanuts because absolutely. They have no laws to adhere to.
Because that's the same issue we had. We tried to start a DJ union about 2000, in fact. And we met, a whole bunch of DJs we met. And we agreed that guys were going to unionize.
I can just imagine what that meeting must have been like. Oh, pay money to be a fly in the
wall. Leave us alone. and the agreement was even that no one comes in for any gig at less than X amount.
Absolutely. That's where you start.
A month later, guys were taking gigs.
Yes.
A month later.
Yes. That's
guys from the very same meeting were taking gigs at a fee we agreed is peanuts.
Yes. You're like, we're not going to tell you how much to charge.
Yeah.
But I come to those 7s for less than 1 rand.
Exactly.
And then next week.
Someone is like, 50 cents.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like, fine. No, it's 90 cents, okay? Yeah. Oh, it's 1 rand 50 or maybe.
Exactly.
Something like that, excuse me.
So I think that's one of our biggest challenges then as an industry. But how are Hollywood getting it right that we can't replicate?
They
back to the members of parliament, they'll be at your funeral.
Yes, back to that guy.
But we can't afford to bury
you. They can't tell them to go to work if their tool's down because there's laws that they have to adhere to. And then that's why their unions are strong.
Sure.
Because they know Ndubana they're backed up by an entire law. So upper shame unions, it's and as I could name them, I just won't. And Obetuna. It's just, I mean, their argument isn't, it's treated as if it's not as heavy as the piece of paper they hold. It's hectic. It's representing national treasures.
Sure. Absolutely. The fame that and the attention that you're getting in what you do.
Why do I roll my eyes so much? Maybe it's because I have a toddler, right? All I have is this as a reaction. Oh, oko, oko, oko.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take you back to Mtata. Just for a second, because like you said, you're the last born. But you're also a rural child with siblings. And for them, your superstardom might mean nothing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That when you're home, you must go still fetch water, you must make tea.
That part,
you must...
excuse me.
Do you ever pull a, but do you know who I am at home? Or there's no chance?
I'm just imagining that conversation with my big brother who I cannot call by name. I have to call him Ubuti, even though I'm a 38-year-old.
Mm.
No, I cannot. I can. It's not. It's not even something that would come out of my mouth.
But what are the family perks of being who you are, though? Surely there are family perks.
You know what? Mm. I noticed it with my mom before she passed. May her soul rest. She really did respect me, but she respects all her kids.
Yes.
When she sees you have a good head on your shoulders, my mom will respect you.
Mm.
So there's a level of respect. They're just like, okay, she can hold a conversation.
Yes.
That's. I think that started because they were just like, okay, so she does speak in rather important rooms.
Yes.
But I mean, also, it gets cancelled out by the fact that we are a communicative, talking, meeting type of family. At all times. So the perks to speak are that. But then they laugh at me a lot. Like I'm a child there at my home.
What do they laugh about?
Me? Goofy kid, man.
Do they ever, depending on how things are going, say to you, maybe you should have found a real job?
Oh, that's how it started.
Are you for real?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's how it started. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, dude. When you're still calling your mom on some, please help me with rent. And it's, what, 2-3 years into the job, and your mom was just like, so, kawuyim danam yosemans agwa health. She used to work at the Department of Health.
And she knew someone who might be able to.
I know someone who can give you a job. They want nursing.
Just can be a clerk or something.
Just like, take it seriously. And then they had a meeting with her and they were just like, stop it. She's taking it very personal. And just stopped.
So, may I tell you a story? It's actually a very funny story. Well, I hope it's a funny story.
Okay.
So, there's a young lady. Well, yeah, there's a young lady I met the other day at an event. She's from Tata.
Mm-hmm. Great people.
And
there.
She went to, is it St. Mary's in Grahamstown?
Mm-hmm.
Is it St. Mary's? Is there St. Mary's in Grahamstown?
Mm-hmm.
And she says 1998, I was doing a gig at Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
It was the freshers gig. In fact, I think that's the same freshers gig I met Unati. Unati was in first year
at
Rhodes. She says she sneaked out of the boarding house. She was in grade 10 because she wanted to see me DJ.
Oh, my God.
And she was bussed. And then she was expelled.
No!
And she had to go.
You cost her education?
And she literally had to go back to Mtata and there to find her a new school. And she said she actually has no regrets because her life has taken the turn that she wanted
it
to go.
Should have in the family.
But she says whenever she has issues and there's a family meeting, they're like, why don't you call DJ
I can tell you how it sounds in Xhosa.
Tell us.
Fresh wako.
Yeah.
Fresh wako. To say school when I'm falling in lockdown. Oh, such a sarcastic language.
She says that has been her life for the last 25 years now.
Yes, I believe her very well. Eh, you can look when you land on me as a TV.
Yeah.
It's just that vibe.
It's just the way it is.
Oh, yes.
So when you said you're from Tata and then we spoke about Graham's, I remembered her story. I was like,
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so motherhood.
Yes.
So motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Was it planned or was it a, flip, okay.
I mean, even if it was a flip, it was post 30. So that old flip is kind of nice.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had that kid at 35, which is kind of all right. So,
sure.
I didn't know that I planned it. My family who listens to everything that I say and I forget a lot says to me, that's what I said to them. They say, this is what's going to happen with my life. A lot of the things that have happened, they say
you spoke them into existence.
Including that particular thing.
Oh, wow. Mm. Including the gender of the baby.
And then, wait, what? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I wanted girls. I don't know. Yeah, I think I wanted girls. It's a boy.
Let's talk the journey to motherhood.
To motherhood, meeting a boy and making a child? Or
No. We know what happened. We hope. Unless it was the Holy Spirit. So we discover we're pregnant. Because obviously then that affects a lot of things in your industry.
Yeah.
If you're in storing. If you're a woman.
Yeah.
If you're in story, then it becomes, do we write the pregnancy into the story or not? Mm. Or do we write her out of the role?
Firstly, we must talk about how happy, how glad we are.
Yes.
That finally there are women in the writer's room now
who understand
that
yes.
you can write it into existence
yes.
in the actual story, that pregnancy isn't just an ugly thing. It's not a ball. It's a child.
Mm.
And people get pregnant because just now we can think back what...
Sure.
Under 10 years ago, we were not seeing a lot of South African stories that are writing pregnant women into the story.
Into it, yeah.
And I am a case of that.
Mm.
We found out we're pregnant, and then they wrote it into a story. There's a Netflix show that wanted me to join. I told them I'm 4 months pregnant. Mm. They say, okay, we'll call you back. And they call me back. And because it was run by internationals, they came up with a thing. They were just like, okay, we know what to do.
Or because it's you. And they knew they needed you on the show. Never forget that.
That, right?
Exactly.
It does cross my mind sometimes, so I'm just like...
It's like, oh, you're pregnant. No, don't worry.
Is it because it was me?
Or you're transitioning. Don't worry. We actually wanted to do an LGBTQIA story anyway.
So can you wear makeup from the beginning and then at the end you give me a boy? They wrote it in, Brash. It was the coolest thing. So my pregnancy was that.
Mm.
I worked from beginning of my pregnancy. Sure. I was on a show called Blood Psalms.
Mm.
When I found out, we were about 3 months.
And Blood Psalms was like a dope show.
Blood Psalms was incredible.
Looks like it's a dope show.
It was incredible. Jamil, can you imagine one man created that story?
Yeah.
It was incredible. And I mean, how amazing was the cast? The story is out of this world, literally. The cast is just beyond...
It's us.
Yeah.
It's us.
Yeah.
It's us telling stories in a way that we've never been allowed to tell.
Yeah.
Our stories have always been same old, same old. Our stories have always been stereotypical. It's like stories of, you know, the black condition in the US. It's either you're gangsters, you're in the hood, or
Did
you're slaves.
Did I not have an audition the other day?
Or you're slaves.
American stories, right?
What, to be a slave?
Unfortunately, the other type of slave, the mad black girl, the crazy, the what, angry black girl.
Did you do the audition?
I was just like, you know, and the thing is, like, I'm so I just can't be doing things I don't know. But so you're right. You're always feeding into an existing
thing. Absolutely. So Blood Psalms was actually a welcome change.
I am so glad that show happened. Big ups to Showmax for taking it on, pumping money into it, supporting it, even though they don't understand.
Mm.
But we should understand because we've seen shows like Game of Thrones before.
Exactly.
We've been watching it.
Why are other people allowed to have fantasy stories, but you know, we must have the same thing, the same thing. Where now we must free Mandela again. Mandela's been free, guys.
How many
Mandela stories can we make?
And
I think what's even more annoying is there are so many names even within the struggle for liberation who have stories that are probably more compelling as a movie that are not being made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And if there's budget, then let's put budget into those stories.
Firstly. But also, if there isn't budget for those stories, can the people who do have money on the outside sitting and watching and enjoying the arts invest?
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to a story about the mothers of the children of June 16. You know what I mean? That in itself is a whole story.
That's insane.
Why is it not being told?
I haven't even thought about that.
Not even the mothers, just the girls.
Yeah.
From June 16. We only hear about the boys. There were a lot of girls. The girls that had to leave the country at the same time.
Yeah.
The girls that disappeared were not hearing their stories.
Yeah.
Why are the stories not movies or series?
Yeah. Kaloku finders are men. So they're always going to find these in those namatoto pagat because they're just like, ha-ah.
But maybe you guys are not presenting.
Ah, yeah. Fresh susfaga, susfaga, Tina.
No, but...
Susfaga, Tina. Tina, siya presenter, Tina. Siya picha, sine ideas, siya funu vela.
Unfortunately, as one of the soon-to-be senior girls in the team of actresses, we expect you to be one of the people...
Did you just say soon-to-be senior? Oh, my gosh, it's so true. I'm like, God, I'm too 40. Oh, shit. It makes me so nervous. They really treat me like an adult. I mean, and then I live. So funny, I can't... What's how old are you? I'm like, I'm in my 30s. I can't say...
It's like, which part of the
30s? I can't say my 30s. That tiguago adult. Yes.
So unfortunately, with your track record and your experience, there are people who are going to look up to you and say, we expect you to hold that torch that says, we demand more than what we're getting already.
100%.
Unfortunately, that comes with where you are right now.
100%. I really want to invite as many investors as possible to listen to the stories that are being pitched by the female producers. I mean, I'm producing now as well.
You see? I've just given you two ideas. You're welcome.
Yeah, but I mean, we all know if those ideas go on tape, if we film that stuff, you're going to be entitled to your 5% because women
are
fair.
I don't want your 5%. You can have it.
Thank you.
Rather put it into a fund for in the event that an actor or an actress is struggling, that fund can...
I'm so tired of that story, Fresh. Aren't you like excited about the idea of an arts and culture in South Africa that is not popular with struggling stories?
Dude, I remember when lockdown happened.
As in the series or real life?
No, no. the one we all went through.
Yes.
And I remember about a couple of weeks in where artists already were saying they're struggling.
Yeah, already
a couple of weeks in, I was, I think, supporting six families of struggling, mainly artists and musicians. Six. A couple of weeks in already. Because the gigs have stopped.
Because it's hand-to-mouth.
It's literally gig-to-mouth, gig-to-mouth, gig-to-mouth. You don't even have time to save. Because every cent counts. Every cent counts. Now remember, German government unlocks billion euro for the struggling arts.
South Africa did release a couple of billions.
That went to a handful of people.
We just didn't see it. No,
went to a handful of people.
Isn't it the one that disappeared completely?
That was the one that disappeared, and then there was also the fund that went to...
To the other guy, the musician?
I think him and his daughter also got something. And I'm like, why are you giving one person $1 million when you could say to 1,000 struggling artists, here's groceries for 6 months?
Yeah.
But you want to give one person's company $1 million?
The few people that were offering groceries were private people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people. Like I said, I literally, by the thick of things of lockdown, I was literally getting groceries for at least 15 families within our industry. 15. And I was struggling myself.
Of course.
And I had to pay my staff. And there was zero income. You know what I mean? Are you ready to cry with me?
See, I will laugh as quickly as I will cry. I'm telling you, Fresh, it's ridiculous. It's absurd.
So like I'm saying, though, that, you know, we want to support what you guys are doing, and we're hoping big business will also do that.
Yes.
My support will always be, I will be a cheerleader.
Yes.
We will do interviews. We will throw ideas at you guys.
Yes.
And hopefully one of them will become a thing.
Sus disconnect afresh. They understand why you are plugged into the same system I am.
Yes.
Get into the habit of Tina, as we in the arts must plug. We must. Because even you are arts and culture. When we are standing there looking at the same minister, sports, arts and culture, musicians, DJs, producers, filmmakers, even Siakolis.
You know,
same minister.
You know, one of the reasons I'm speaking about, especially you guys, is because
as in the filmmakers, your
entire industry,
okay,
is the perception always is because you're on TV or you're in a movie, you're making a ton of money. You know what I mean?
I understand the science.
And within the broader arts and culture, you guys are probably the most exploited. Or the least appreciated in terms of how you're paid.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And people think because when you are in story for 3 months, you're rocking.
Yes.
That money that you got paid for the 3 months we're seeing on TV probably didn't even last you a month.
Yes.
Because you're still paying back rent for when you were not in any story.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, we could go on and on and
so
on.
So you guys are taking most of your careers.
The people who are in the film business, you are completely correct. They're most exploited. I don't know the music side, so let's go through it very quickly.
Mm.
If you have a song that's out and it's playing and it's in high circulation, you get money, right, every time it plays on the radio or something like that?
Yeah, but it's a pittance. It's a pittance.
Also, it's not like big monies.
It's not big monies. And unfortunately, perceptions for us are different from perceptions for you.
So we don't even get a percentage.
Mm.
So even if the musicians are getting a certain percentage, we don't. Like, so
you have zero
you're
royalty.
Correct. Zero royalty.
So you're like the plumber. You fix the pipe, here's your money, go away.
100%. But we're going to take the show and we're going to sell it in another country.
And we're going to use your face. Like, the plumber made the show, But the plumber is not part of...
And we're going to sell the show because of you, but you're going to get that percentage that you're entitled to, you're not going to get. I heard something about the Generation 16, the people who left the show. I have an idea why they left.
Tell us.
It was something to do with the royalties.
Ah, yes.
It was actually perpetuated to be something else because the government of media is not obviously the freelancers. It's the people who run it. But they were actually asking for the contract that includes royalties, that they get paid the royalties that are on the contract. Because as an actor, when you sign a contract, it says you're entitled to 5% of royalties. It's just you don't get it. It's there on the contract.
Oh, wow.
So then they were just like, okay, cool. So it's there. So why are you honoring these parts of the contract and not honoring these parts? But we know that the show is being sold in 500,000 countries. Remember that 5%, that 2% that's on the contract? Hi, me. And then it was said that it was something else they're fighting for.
Yeah,
it was actually the royalty.
Because that's a conversation I had with the late Jamie Bartlett. May his soul rest in peace.
May his soul rest.
We were both judges on SS Got Talent.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about how he was booked for an appearance in one of the African countries.
Yeah.
And he had no idea how big ETV was in those African countries. Yes. He says he stepped out of his hotel and he was mobbed.
Yeah.
And he was told that, no, ETV is literally on every decoder on this continent.
Yep.
So your stuff is on literally the entire continent.
And the contract that he signed does include the sale of his show in every other country as a principal performer.
Jeez.
Principal performer is fancy for
lead. Staring.
Staring.
Staring. Yeah. Use words we understand, please.
Yeah, I'm also, even me, I'm like, is it principal performer or is it staring? As staring, you're entitled to a certain percentage of the money. Should we sell it in another show, another country? Pardon. Yeah.
Let's change gear for a sec.
Yes.
Are you at a stage in your career where you can make certain demands in terms of what you're willing and not willing to do?
I'm not willing to do pornography.
Most of us are not.
But pornography is everywhere now. Every show. Okay. Yes, to answer your question.
Pornography, fairly. hold on.
Hey, have you seen what happened there on TV? Have you seen it? Yeah, going naked. Every show.
And what are your views about? But is it pornography or is it just...
I'm just so scared of it. You know what?
Okay, are you scared you might one day be told this is the role, it's the role you've always
Who's
wanted?
Who's going to tell me?
But, no, as in this is the brief. That's the brief that, listen, we know this is you. We know you're going to kill it. But she shags a lot.
Can she just shag less?
But that is part of the character, you see.
I just don't.
She's
like
a black widow, you see. So
no,
she must shag
it's
and then.
Fine. Why don't we take the part of black widow? Then we give it to Fresh.
Okay.
Then we bring the rest.
But Fresh is not an actor. Now you guys are going to complain.
So if, for instance, Fresh is my co-star and you really, really, and we really, really need to see 70% of skin in the show. I think I don't contribute to the 70% of the nudity. Okay.
So they must find skin somewhere else. Like zoom into the cameraman's forearm, something.
Just do
find
something.
Find skin.
Just find it somewhere because I have none to offer. However, back in the day when they made films about story.
Sure.
They would have love scenes. We call sex scenes love scenes.
Yes.
Because it's a love scene.
And they still left a lot to the imagination.
And they left a lot to the imagination. And when it was brutal, it was literally part of the story. So if you'd have someone who's playing a prostitute ever so often, you wouldn't really see her as naked as you think. Mm. But the illusion. The film is beautiful because we make you think
it's
whatever
implied.
We
it's
want
implied.
You to think. Yes.
Yes.
Then should there be one particular scene where you see her and she's running from her, don't. Then that's the time where we've bought space for that.
Mm.
We're not buying space for it now. We're just here.
It's almost mandatory now.
Are you seeing the same? And this is across the board, international, all the way down to local. Like, the shows are not implying much.
Is this because we demand it as an audience? Or is it because our story is not solid enough, so we need to add a shag or two?
I'm not going to. I think it's the former. Mm-hmm. I think it's because
Are you governing yourself in your head?
That part.
Yes.
I think it's because the world is liberal.
Yeah.
I think it's because that's just where we're in the 70s. What were you in the 60s? You really couldn't have
you'd show a miniskirt and people
you know what
would
I mean?
Be
and people
up
like,
in arms.
Oh my gosh, you show your knees, and it was sexual and sensual enough. So it's 2024. It's we're liberal enough to have stories like that. Maybe I'm just I'm more inclined to different kinds of stories.
So you're not going to show skin, is what you're saying?
As much as if it doesn't make sense to the story, I'm not showing it.
Okay, so if it's part of the what the story is about,
I think men look incredible naked.
Sure.
They can show their skin on my behalf.
Okay.
I don't think
there must represent you.
Of the female body. Mm. I don't think there's shortage of that.
Would a younger you have the same?
She would say, I won't even do it if the story wants.
Yeah.
Because yet again, there's no shortage of skin on television. Mm. I'm a filmmaker. I make movies. I tell stories. Incredible stories. Mm.
You do.
And should I play somebody?
Mm.
Thank you, Fresh.
Mm.
Doesn't fall on deaf ears.
Mm.
On a show called The Wife, I don't know if you heard about it.
I watched The Wife.
Okay.
Okay, the first season. I'm still in the first season.
Okay.
I'm told there's more skin in the second season.
I think, but my character was a former prostitute.
I know.
And there is a scene where she has to take off her clothes. And we do it as beautifully as we possibly can.
Yes.
And we have a scene where she's being taken advantage of, a sexual assault.
Mm.
And then there we do take off skin. Mm. But it's not gratuitous.
No, no, it's part of the story.
100%.
But your co-stars, Bonewa, are like, yay.
Really?
Eh?
Really? Oh, maybe that was their story. Mine was not so much fun.
But your character was incredible.
Thank you.
In fact, your character is incredible. There were times I was like, no, she's not acting, man. This is her.
How?
Eh?
How?
There must be an element of her, of you there.
As well as the Zulu men, right? Because all of them were so great that you'd end up thinking, I'm man.
But the beauty of The Wife, though,
mm-hmm.
is it was everyone was perfectly casted.
100%.
Everyone.
I agree.
I never looked at anyone and thought, when are you out of place? I could have done better with my broken Zulu.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was well cast. It really, really was. From everyone to everyone. The women were perfect. The men were incredible. The men did that thing that we didn't want to do, which is to take off too much clothes. And they were topless in the first season. We asked them.
Yes.
The directors, take their clothes off.
Absolutely.
And they were like, don't worry. We'll bring muscle.
And then they show bomb.
And they were working out every day.
Half of them were eating.
They were topless. We were.
I'm sure half of them heard that Shagay Lembe is coming. Like,
and they were like, oh, no, I really need to train. Yeah, that part.
Anyway, so we're going to, again, change gear because we were running out of time and I know you need to get back to set. You sing.
Like a motherfucker.
I know.
Like
why are we not seeing more of you out there singing on stage,
so
sharing?
I was minding my own business when Anela called and said, do you want to join this show,
yes.
The Masked Singer?
Yeah.
And I, thank God, wasn't thinking about I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Because when Anela calls, you say yes.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. She's like, just look at my WhatsApp. I look and I'm like, yeah, I've seen this show before. Mm. And I had.
Mm.
You know, the American version. I think I had seen my favorite people in a mask. And I'm busy running after my child. And then I say, yes, yes. Mm. Here's a number. Call these guys.
Mm.
Without thinking
about
the fact that I do the singing. The masked person is the one who does the singing. So.
Yes.
I think that kind of exposed me a lot to even myself. Because you know you can sing in the shower.
Absolutely.
But does that mean you can stand in a crowd of people and hold a note? It reminded me of something that I actually really do enjoy. Maybe I should make a song.
I think you should.
I think I should. I think I should. I think I should make a song.
May we help you make a song?
Yes. Anything that we do. Oh, that's a song that exists.
We'd have to write from scratch, unfortunately.
Oh, we have to do it.
Yes, literally from scratch.
I apologize for pretending I know anything about music in your presence, Fresh.
No, shut up. What did you sing as a child? What were your favorite songs to sing as a child?
So I, again, sing the least really good in my home because everyone else took the singing talent.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm the one who...
So you're the extra.
Yeah, I'm the extra. They're like, I'm like, the one who kapayo. I'm the shubidubidu of the song. So I would definitely shubidu. So, cool part about being a young person, the last born of a family, is that no matter what, you're going to know a lot of music.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you've got from your parents all the way down to your big sisters, your brother. So there was all this music to listen to.
Sure.
And I know a lot of it, from country to I mean, rhythm and blues of the time. Blues.
Sing us something from your childhood.
And things are nervous. I don't think that...
You'll be fine.
I don't think... Do you want me to sweat on your set? Because I don't think... My hands are shaking. No, I'm not going to sing right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's that song I wanted to sing for you, though, in the car?
You wanted to sing for me in the car?
Yes, because I was listening to Fresh Flavor 4.
Okay.
Da 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 da. Guys, please sing with me.
Well, Summer Days.
Da 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 de. That's not singing.
No, it's
not. Here's a song I wanted to ask you what it said.
Okay.
Da 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 dee da 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 da. Do you know what we said in Kosa?
Yeah. I can't hear you. Say it into the mic.
No, it's vulgar.
It's fine.
No, it's very
what
vulgar.
What I love about Kosa is when it goes vulgar, it goes vulgar.
I can't. My mom, my sister, I could watch this. I can't say. Yeah, they're Golden Rock.
Which one? Well, get on my camel and ride.
Get my camel and ride?
Get on my camel and ride. Is that the one? Get on my camel. Peppa Ma?
Huh? That's what we said.
Get on my camel and ride.
Yeah.
So let's hear it. Get on,
never sana oivile oivanga. Wow. That's as much music as I have for you. Get on my camel and ride.
Mm. And then is Xhosa is?
Nope. It's about riding.
Okay.
In a very vulgar way. Please.
So it's about Babsfontein?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Xhosa.
Okay.
And it's not even me who was saying it. It was the older guys
okay.
who were saying that stuff.
So were they singing it at the
can
girls?
Can we move on? Fresh and Dance are never.
Were they singing it at the... You have two options. So you can either tell us that, or you can take us back to your childhood and sing us a song from your childhood. As she gets ready to sing, ladies and gentlemen, the fox. And don't cry, please. We know you get paid to cry, so.
No, I actually really get paid a lot to cry.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't just drop a tear for you for free, Fresh, even you.
I will pay you to cry.
A lot, Fresh.
I will pay you a lot.
Best years of my life, and I gave you a woman who stood by your side. That's all I remember. I can't believe you're making me to sing. Wow.
We're waiting.
Do you know that song?
Mm-hmm. Who is it by? Who is that?
Gladys Knight.
Okay. Okay, give us more. Give us
no
more.
No, and Fun.
Jeez.
Kaloku Fresh, we've agreed that I must make a song.
Mm-hmm.
So when I make a song, people must be interested in the song that I'm
okay,
going to make.
Okay, so we have they a deal then. Like, they want to...
We're making a song?
I want to make a song.
Thank you.
And you want to show up and you want to sing.
Thank you.
From...
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tell us about the bald head.
Which part?
The decision to go bald.
I actually don't know.
In a world where women are judged by their crowns. Unfortunately.
500 years ago when I started this hairstyle, it was such an anomaly. Remember?
Mm.
Back when I started my career started with that show that you spoke about, Cha-Cha, in 2005-06.
We know.
And so my character was bald at that time, but I had already cut my hair.
Okay.
Why did I cut my hair? I can't remember.
Mm.
It had something to do with the passing of my parents, my grandparents. Okay. I lost my granddad first. I cut my hair.
Sure.
But it wasn't mandatory. It's not like everyone at home cut their hair.
Mm.
But I had this afro, and then the afro wasn't growing, and then done Nechanda, and then done Tlekwa, and then done Zika.
Mm.
Then the next thing I'm casting this show, and I like this hairstyle. Mm. And then I go on, and then I realize that, okay, I actually like it. I'm keeping it.
Mm.
And then without noticing it,
it
was a bit of a statement
to
just be like, women can look like this as well. Mm. Most of the characters I played were not bald, but they had... black hair a lot, unless I'm playing somebody who doesn't.
Sure.
I really, really, really respect my job enough to let the character look the way that she wants. If she's got straight hair, if she's got curly hair, I will play what she actually is.
Mm.
Because a woman does wear herself according to her crown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then from generations, things started changing when we showed up in the show with your hairstyle like yours.
Mm.
And then it became popular from there. Like, ikat, yaba indo yenziwa, it was a girls. And then there was a cut with the line, and then.
Sure. Da, 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 da. Sure.
So I started this unaware of the fact that it will be my imprint. Perhaps it's fate.
Perhaps it's
fate.
That I cut my hair.
In my personal life.
Yes, because it's
contributed to how we see women now, because I show up like this as myself.
What do men need to unlearn?
They need to give us money.
Give women money.
Give me money.
Give women money. What do men need to unlearn about how we see women, how we treat women, how we perceive women? What would you like for the little man you're raising?
Well, a model of what kind of man he's supposed to be in the next generation, because I'll ask you this, like, if you are the kind of person that you are now and everything that you are learning as a man with your black identity, having grown up in a home where there was a father figure, if not your father, and you saw that everything, mostly our dads, all they had to offer was a home, a house for his wife, and take the kids to school.
Sure.
And immediately you grow up as a man. And then by the time you are this tender age of 35, there are so many more expectations.
Sure.
We expect men to be millionaires now. It's what the climate is asking.
Sure. And often it's said by the girl who's not even working.
Come on. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Sorry for all the women who said be a millionaire, but they don't work. Come back. Come back. The expectation is that because times have changed so much.
I laughed the other day. I saw a meme that says, you know, when you're sitting in a taxi, the girl that's looking at you thinks you're the one who's struggling. And not
yes! No, you must understand. A girl doesn't struggle. Nobody hope and struggle because
you're in transit.
Because I'm in transit.
Sure.
The following day, could be in a mansion now, saved by a person. Fortunately, times are not asking of that now. Now you provide for yourself.
Sure.
So, a friend of mine was saying,
which is not a bad thing.
She says to me, how do you do it, providing for yourself? Like, how do you... Do you know that you are your own breadwinner? I'm just like, I had never even thought about that. But, oh my gosh, like I provide for myself from the roof of my head to what my son shall become with his identity. But back to that, it hasn't been modeled what you guys, there is nobody that has shown you how to be this new version of a man. And maybe that's why you guys are getting it wrong so much. Because...
And suffering mental health and suicide and pressure and.
Because you did not have a model.
Sure.
Your model showed you to get a house and get children and then take care of the kids and take them to school.
And then if you're not doing it, then you're not a man.
Yeah, and that was it. The four things that, okay, and of course other things and other things. So now, because I'm aware of the fact that shame, man, there's a disconnect between the current black man, particularly, and what has been modeled for him.
And
how
I think,
do I raise my son?
And also, there's almost a... We're teaching everyone else how to catch up with what patriarchy created. But is enough being done to prepare the modern man for the fact that things are changing?
I can tell you that for free.
You know what I mean?
I think.
So I think a lot of guys are struggling to even...
Yes.
I don't know how to exist in this new world. Because no one has taught me or showed me or advised me or even role modeled it to me.
Yes. I agree completely. Because as a woman, I have got at least... There are options to be politically correct. There are options as a woman. There's a home I can go to if I need this. There's assistance. There's even a community. There's even a village that can raise my child.
Sure.
I don't know if that's the same for you.
And I tell that story a lot about how we once complained to my grandma about why, in fact, our girl cousins complained to my grandma that why do you always give the boys attention? You're always giving the boys extra attention. And one Christmas in the village, she explained that the reason I pay special attention to the boys is because unfortunately a neglected boy becomes a very dangerous man.
100%.
And a lot of you girls here, will you might get your own jobs or whatever else, but chances are you're going to be married into another family.
Yes.
So you will be fine eventually. But if these ones here are neglected,
yes,
we are all in trouble.
100. Your grandmother's a very wise woman.
And this is in the 80s.
Yes.
That we're all in trouble if these little ones don't get it right.
And your mother.
So we can't fuck around
with these boys.
Yeah.
Yes, and I wonder if there were a lot of that, a lot of boys who were experiencing that, who were being cared for, who were being given extra attention.
Mm.
I wonder if they were as fortunate as you are. I doubt.
Mm.
You may have been 1 in 20, if not 1 in 15. Mm. The rest of them are just not being catered. Not that we don't take care of our men. Mm. No, don't get it twisted.
But it's as guidance. Well. It's guidance.
It's a particular type of guidance. Mm. And it's going to take, arguably, a woman to speak life to a man in order for him to rehabilitate.
Mm.
Unpopular opinion.
Mm.
But maybe it will.
Mm. I think on that note, we're going to have to let you go.
Yay.
But I'd love to have you come back, though. To introduce our song.
Yes, our song. What is this? What's the genre of our new song?
It's up to you. What you want to make it?
I have no clue. It needs to be vibey enough. It needs to sound like salsa. It needs to sound cosa at the same time. See, bipolar song.
Or we can redo Get On My Camel and Ride.
And we must say the right cosa. Lyrics, not the cosa
ones. No, the cosa version of it. We'll sanitize it a bit.
And send our nerves.
That's, yes. That's all we need. Okay. Those nerves is what you need because to make the perfect song.
I think I don't know. But thank you so much. We're making a song.
Where do we catch you when? What are you working on currently that we haven't seen yet?
I'm producing my own talk show.
Okay.
It's called The Art Circle. It's on YouTube right now.
Okay.
I'm sitting down with artists. Please be my guest for music.
I'm ready.
Fantastic. And I'm producing. I'm trying to pitch scripts.
Okay.
To channels and streamers, and I will never stop being an actor for hire.
And you'll never stop kicking ass, dude.
That part.
You'll never stop kicking ass.
Thank you,
friend. I'll continue being a fan of yours.
Thank you.
Those days when you were...
When you were in Grimstown and you didn't come to my set.
You guys had stopped. You guys had wrapped, so there's no way I was going to see you. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is about to leave the building. Please find her, follow her, support her. A number of people were curious as to what I was going to be doing this week, specifically what I was going to be doing this weekend after the 14th. Well, to answer, Saturday is legs day, so I'll be doing legs. Whatever you are doing, even if it's by yourself, with a device that makes you sweat.
I hate you.
Hope all you have is a wow week ahead.
Can I go?
What, do you want to join me for legs?
Sir, have you seen my legs?
Show us your legs. You want to stand up and show us your legs?
Wrong show, fresh.
do you want to do a clean and jerk together?
I jerk really well.
I'm sure you do. We've been coming to you from Discover TV. Check them out. Shout out to the Africa Podcast Network, Pezulu Works for the cinematography, Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our audio imaging, and our guests today. To me, stop nonsense, and someone who doesn't take nonsense, Zikhona Sotlaka. Creative producer, Kuvesh Mohan, and of course, the boss lady, the show producer, Keleso Modisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great week, in spite of yourselves.